Turn to John chapter 1, if you would. John chapter 1 is where I want to begin. Here John is recording the initial meeting between Jesus and those who would become his inner circle, his disciples, his apostles. John chapter 1, and let's start reading at verse 35. John chapter 1, verse 35. Again the next day, John stood with two of his disciples, and looking at Jesus as he walked, he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." The two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Then Jesus turned, and seeing them following, said to them, "What do you seek?" They said to him, "Rabbi," which is to say, when translated, "teacher, where are you staying?" And he said to them, "Come and see." They came and saw where he was staying, and remained with him that day. Now it was about the 10th hour. One of the two who heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his own brother Simon and said to him, "We have found the Messiah," which is translated, "the Christ." And he brought him to Jesus. Now when Jesus looked at him, he said, "You are Simon the son of Jonah. You shall be called Cephas," which is translated, "a stone." The following day, Jesus wanted to go to Galilee, and he found Philip and said to him, "Follow me." Now Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." And Nathanael said to him, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Philip said to him, "Come and see." And this is where it begins, and this is how it begins. People initially come to Jesus, ask a question, "Where are you staying?" And Jesus extends the invitation, "Come and see." Three simple words that change these men's lives. And they in turn go and find others and bring them unto Jesus. We know Andrew brings Peter unto Jesus. We don't know a lot about Andrew. We know a lot about the Apostle Peter. But if it hadn't been for Andrew, there wouldn't be an Apostle Peter, would there? He brought him unto Jesus. And then there is Philip. We found this man, Jesus of Nazareth. As soon as the name Nazareth is heard, Nathanael reverts back to an old stigma, to an old prejudice. Can anything good come out of Nazareth? And what are the words that Philip says? Well, what he's heard his teacher say the day before. Come and see. A simple invitation that completely changed the lives of these individuals. I want to talk with you again about the power of an invitation. The power of extending a personal invitation. And I want to help you to see and to appreciate the power that has. And the way that it can change lives. And the distance to which that can go to change lives. If you go, I just turn my page in my Bible, but in John chapter 4. In John chapter 4, we have Jesus with the Samaritan woman at the well, and they have an exchange. And during this exchange, this woman comes to realize there's something special about Jesus. There's something special about this man, different about this man. And he reveals himself to her as the anticipated Messiah. And so she leaves. She left her water pot and went her way into the city and said to the men, verse 29, "Come, see a man." Interesting, same words, right? Come and see. "Come, see a man who told me all things that I ever did. Could this be the Christ?" They went out of the city and came to him. In the meantime, his disciples urged him, saying, "Rabbi, eat." He and his disciples continue to talk, and the woman is gone into the city. She has excited these men, and they are beginning to go out, make their way out to Jesus. Verse 39 says, "And many of the Samaritans of that city believed in him because of the word of the woman who testified, He told me all that I ever did. So when the Samaritans had come to him, they urged him to stay with them, and he stayed there 2 days, and many more believed because of his own word. Now credit is given to whom credit is due. We believe him, not because you, but because we've heard him ourselves. But if it hadn't been for her, how many of them had gone out to hear him? None. Absolutely none. So here, this woman who was not a respectable woman at all, not respectable at all, lower than the lowest, and she's the one who said, come and see. And many people in that city came to believe because of her. I want to suggest to you that this extending of this simple invitation is something that is so easy, so easily done, but yet we see in the Scriptures and we see in the world today that it has the power to change lives. A few years ago, it was requested of the elders that we have some business cards made up for the congregation here. And we had someone design them for us and had them printed out. Very attractive, very useful cards. On the front, we have the name of the congregation, the address, the website, phone number, the times of our services. On the back, we have the plan of salvation spelled out. Not only what has to be done, but the Scriptures as well. And then down at the very bottom, there's a blank space where you and I can write in our own personal contact information. We can write down our name and our phone number, and we can hand these to people. Hand them to people to invite them to come and see, to come to services. Several of these have been taken. The majority of them are still here at the building. I want to encourage you to think about taking these and using these again. I had a phone conversation with a preacher down in Florida this week. Called me out of the blue and was talking to me about something that was very, very exciting to him. He said that there was a woman and her husband who attended their services several weeks ago. Just showed up out of the blue. No one knew them. They didn't know anyone else. But after services were over, that woman was very excited. Very excited about the sermon that she had heard that day. And she wanted to learn more. And so she studied with him some more and had a number of studies. And then eventually, very quickly, obeyed the gospel. And as she was talking with him and they were getting to know each other, he learned and then related to me how was that she even came to be there in the first place. She and her husband were members of a community church, a mega church, just right down the road from where they meet, where they assemble. And it's one of those groups that's all about entertainment. I mean, they number in the thousands and you get lost in the crowd. And this woman had gotten sick of it. Told him that it just wasn't spiritual at all. It wasn't what she understood Christianity to be. She was sick of it. She was discouraged. So discouraged, she was at the point, he said, of giving up on religion altogether. She was ready to turn her back on all of it and give it all up. But she remembered that somebody at the grocery store had given her a card and had invited her to come and visit at the Church of Christ. And so she told her husband, listen, before we give up, she dug in her purse, she remembered the card, she dug in her purse and she pulled it out. She said, listen, before we give up, let's go and let's try this place. And so they did, and they attended. They came that morning. And she heard a sermon about the sowing of the seed and the plain gospel and the power that it has. And it clicked and she realized, we have found it. We have found it. And studied with the preacher there. And after a few weeks, as I said, she obeyed the gospel. Because someone extended an invitation. And she couldn't remember who it was. Even after coming there and attending there, she still can't picture who it is. She doesn't remember who it was. But somebody extended that invitation. and made a difference in her life. About 2.5 weeks ago, on a Wednesday in our 1 o'clock services, we'd gotten into our class, about 15 minutes into our class, and there was a young man who came in and made his way down to the front and sat about where Ashley is at right now. And sat and was just glued to the study. And afterwards, those of us who were here, we introduced ourselves to him and got to know him a little bit. He said his name was Anthony. And we met him and we encouraged him to come back and be with us. I said, we're having services again tonight. We're having class at 7 o'clock. We want to encourage you to come. And you know what? What kind of a zealot do you have to be to go to a church twice in one day? But he was here. And that's where most of us met him. It's where most of you met him, in that evening Bible class and got to know Anthony. And he wasn't here that Sunday that followed. He was out of town. He was in Columbus. And he wasn't here that afternoon, that Wednesday afternoon, but that Wednesday evening, he was here. He was present. And afterwards, we were standing right over there, and he had some questions, and he made some comments about what would happen to him if he was to die, what state he was in. We found our way down the hallway, had a Bible study. It lasted about an hour. And next thing we knew, we were baptizing him into Christ. And we shared that news. We shared that news, and how exciting that is. Do you know why Anthony came to be in our midst? Do you know why he even showed up that afternoon for that Bible class? That was his mother down in Florida that got that card and that decided, let's give this one more chance. Let's give this one more chance before we give up. And she studied, and she obeyed the gospel, and she contacted her son. And Anthony told me this. My mother said, you need to go to the Church of Christ. They know what the Bible says, and they'll help you to understand the truth. And this man who called me on the phone said, Anthony's mother came in beaming, so excited, sharing the fact that her son, all the way up in Ohio, had obeyed the gospel because of what she had learned. And all because somebody, and we still don't know who and probably never will, extended an invitation to that stranger. Would you come and be with us? That's the power that it has. That's the power that extending that simple invitation has. Not everyone appreciates the fact that they are lost and dying in sin. Not everyone appreciates the gospel, but there are some people who do. And when you find the ones that do, what a difference it makes. But the only way that you know is by getting out there and sowing the seed. Getting out there and extending that simple invitation, come and see. Would you just come and see? I want to talk very quickly for a few moments about why it is that this simple invitation has so much power. Well, we see the reality of it, and we've experienced it with Anthony just the past few weeks, but every conversion that we have is the result of that invitation that's extended by someone who's sitting in the pew. Someone who's sitting, who's listening, who cares enough to move and to extend that invitation. Why does that invitation have so much power? Well, number one, because it meets a great need. Look with me in Revelation 22. Revelation chapter 22, after the beauty of heaven is described in chapter 21 and chapter 22, the Bible, the scene closes and the Bible closes with this great invitation. Revelation 22, verse 17, and the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him who hears say, come. And let him who thirsts come. Whoever desires, let him take the water of life freely. This invitation is so effective because it meets a great need. It's extended to those who thirst. Now, everyone who is without the gospel needs the gospel. But not everyone realizes that they're thirsting for spiritual things. Not everyone is going to appreciate the fact that we invite them to come and to be with us. Not everyone's going to appreciate it initially. They may take the card and they'll tuck it away in their wallet or their purse, but there'll come that day when, you know, someone invited me. There'll come that day when they feel that thirst. Not everyone's going to appreciate it, but some people are. It's the appeal is that it is universal. It appeals to a universal need and that it's free. Come and drink freely. In Matthew chapter 11, we have the Lord's great invitation that is extended. Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Not everyone realizes that they are laboring under a burden. They have medicated themselves with the entertainment of this world and the pleasures of this world to the point they don't realize that they're laboring, but some people do. Anthony's mother did, and Anthony did. Some people do. We need to extend that invitation to them because it will connect with them, and they will know that they thirst. And that invitation is for them to come and to see about fulfilling a need that they have. That's what makes it so powerful. Not because it comes from you in particular, but because, number one, it meets a great need. But there is something about it coming from you. The reason this invitation, this simple invitation, come and see, is so effective is because it does express a personal interest. Could you imagine approaching the Lord and asking Him, where are you staying? And the Lord telling you, come and see, and inviting you into the home where He's at. Could you imagine that? But that's what the Lord did. And that's what the Lord does for all of us. Come and be with me. Come and see. Well, when you and I extend that invitation, I'm a member of the church at Knollwood, and I'd like for you to come and to see. I'd like for you to come and to be with me one time. Would you do that? What that does is that expresses the fact to the individual that you care enough about them to want to share that with them. The old adage is true. No one cares what you know until they know that you care. And extending that invitation is a way of letting them know that you care. They might not know anything about you, but they've learned one thing, that you care about them. That you care enough about them and about their soul that you've wanted to share where you go to church with them. A personal invitation, though, is necessary to do this, to send this message. We've got a sign out there in front of our building, and it flashes, and it lets the whole community know that here we are, and everybody's welcome to come and to be with us, and they're just not beating a path down to the door, are they? Every church in town extends that at-large invitation, at least everyone that I know of. No, it takes that personal invitation. That's what it takes. That's what's different, is there's a person. I can connect a face and a name with that group, and they want me to go and to be with them. Again, as I said, not everyone's going to appreciate that, but some people are. Some people are going to appreciate that, and we need to be looking for those who are looking. In Luke chapter 14, we have the parable of the great supper. And here the master of the house has prepared this great supper, and he sent his servants out to those who were initially invited, and they all give excuses. They can't go. Someone's bought some land, and someone's got some oxen they've bought, and someone's gotten married, and they can't make it. And the master is outraged. Verse 20. So the servant came and reported these things to his master. And the master of the house, being angry, said to him, go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city and bring in here the poor and the maimed and the lame and the blind. He didn't say go out there and invite them. Go and bring them in. Bring them in here. And the servant said, Master, it is done as you commanded, and still there is room. Then the master said to the servant, Go out into the highways and the hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. Go out and bring them, compel them. Well, we need to understand this is a parable. We cannot force people to come. Everyone has their own free will, but it's more than just inviting, isn't it? It's more than just extending that invitation. It's compelling people to come. Would you please come? Would you please come with me? Do we approach it with that kind of urgency? Because it's effective. It is effective. That simple invitation, number one, it meets a great need. Number two, it expresses personal interest. Number three, it's about the most non-threatening thing that we can do in trying to bring people under Christ. That will require a personal contact. That is, talking with someone personally and individually. It's about the most non-threatening thing that we can do. And most people don't like to be challenged. They don't like to have their faith challenged. Maybe some people do. Most do not. And the invitation to come, unless it's perceived as, you're trying to recruit me to your church, an invitation is simply that, an invitation to come and be our guest. Be my guest. Come, I want to share this part of my life with you. And that is very non-threatening. A simple invitation to come to a Bible class, to attend one night of a gospel meeting. It's not a challenge to a person's faith. It is just what it is. It's an invitation. After they've come, they may begin to question things that they hear in light of what they understand the Scriptures to teach or their own beliefs. They'll be bringing these things up. They'll be initiating the study and the discussion. And that makes all the difference in the world to some people. But it's effective because it is non-threatening. And finally, what makes it so effective is that it requires so little knowledge and skill. It's so easy, even I can do it. You're simply inviting someone to come. Now, it does take a lot of courage. And it does take a love for lost souls. And it takes some zeal. Why do you think all the men of that city of Samaria went out to see who this man was? Because that woman, when she came back to town, she was excited about what she had found. Come and see a man. He's told me everything that I've done. I think this is the Messiah. She didn't get them out there because of her own influence, because of her reputation. It was her excitement. You and I need to have the true joy of Christ in our hearts and in our lives as we extend the invitation. People can see there's something different about us. And for some, they'll be curious enough to want to see what that is. What is that you've got? Think again about Andrew and Philip from John chapter 1. They'd spent almost no time with the Lord whatsoever. They hadn't been through any kind of training program whatsoever. But they didn't hesitate to go and say, come and see. They did what they could. They shared what they knew. They were excited. Come and see. We don't know much about Andrew and Philip, but like I said, we do know that they cared enough to invite others to share in what they had found. And brethren, you and I, we can do that too. What great thing can we do to save lost souls? While the denominational world around about us is involved in all kinds of programs and gimmicks and tricks and this and that. And sometimes even our own brethren get caught up in things, in programs, in different activities or I would call the bait and switch and schemes. Nothing is more effective than you and I saying, would you come to services with me? Would you like to come and worship with me? I'd love to have you come. We're studying something in our Bible class, and I'd love to have you come. We're having a gospel meeting on Tuesday night. He's going to preach on something you and I have talked about before. I know you'd be interested in that. Would you like to come with me? Nothing is more effective in spreading the gospel to the lost than you and I extending that simple invitation. Come and see. We've got plenty of these cards. I want to encourage you, challenge you to take all of them that you can hand out. And when we run out, and we're not close to running out, but when we do, we'll get more. We'll get more. Isn't one soul worth it? One soul's worth it. We see in our midst. We see in the Scriptures, and we see in our midst that it works. Let's be busy inviting people to come and to see the Lord. It is so good to be with you, to be able to assemble together. I tell you, King David spent so much time as he was out in the wilderness running from Saul, and then later running from his son, Absalom. He writes in Psalm 122, "I was glad when they said to me, 'Let us go to the house of the Lord.'" I don't know about you, but I feel that way too. I was glad when they said, "Let's go and let's worship." And it's been good to be with you today and to be able to worship God. But we want to share this joy with everyone. Let's be busy inviting people to come. Let's live the life that we've been called to live. And set that example. And establish that influence and that credibility with others. And use it to extend that invitation. But let's not be afraid to invite strangers. To put something in their hand that stays with them. And who knows, maybe a few weeks down the road, we'll see a stranger come in here. And we'll see something click. And we'll have some studies. And we'll get phone calls that someone on the other side of the country has obeyed the gospel to. Who knows? Only God knows. Let's get busy. Let's get busy. If you're subject to the invitation, we're going to extend it at this time. If you're ready to obey the gospel, to repent of your sins, to confess your faith, and be baptized into Christ for the remission of your sins, we'd be honored to witness that and to rejoice with you as you obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. If as an erring Christian you need to make things right, as a struggling Christian you need our prayers, whatever your need is, let it be made known by coming forward as we stand and sing this song.